Christ Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you to come on in so we can begin on tonight. You were probably waiting on us to come in so we can begin, but we are here waiting for you. Come on in.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you and those who are preparing to join us, for truly this is indeed a wet day, but it is indeed the day the Lord has made, and so we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're in the 28th chapter tonight of 2 Chronicles. We had a chance to finish 26 and 27 on last week. And so here we are tonight in 28, and if time permits, we might be able to just cover 27 because 28 is really just kind of recapping some things that we've already talked about, but we'll see how the Lord leads us tonight as we prepare for this time together. Hope each of you are staying dry and during this season, and that you have a thankful spirit. But let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for your presence, and we thank you now for your presence even in this time of study. We ask that you would just be with us as we prepare to lift your word up. You said if we but yet lift you up, that you will do the drawing. And so, God, we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. We thank you, dear Lord, that you are yet a healer and a deliverer. We ask thy forgiveness of our sins and pray that you will strengthen us where we're weak and yet build us up where we're torn down. And so, God, we pray for each person who will be a part of this time together. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. But we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and praise God. All right, well, we're going to be in the 28th chapter tonight, and we might look at some of the 29th chapter, but we want to do a recap of yesterday's worship experience. And indeed, it was an experience that we had as we gathered together to hear what God had to say to us. And Lady Kim preached a powerful word on yesterday to help us get a sense of what it means to be thankful, and then help us to be aware of what God requires of us after we have been blessed. And so, Lady Kim, a powerful word again on yesterday. Don't forget to tell God, thank you.
Amen.
Part of this has to do with the Thanksgiving season. And, you know, every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. And we ought not just have to wait for the 24th. It's the 24th day of November.
Yes.
To be thankful, but we can count our blessings and name them one by one. Count our many blessings, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord has done. Even though you might not have gotten everything that you asked God to do for you, or you still have a prayer on the line, you don't have to wait until you get it to give him thanks. But even as you go, and as Lady Kim talked about in the sermon, there ought to be a turn back spirit in your thanking God, because God sometimes already blesses us as we go. And many times we never turn back to tell the Lord, thank you.
Amen.
And so, Lady Kim, this was a powerful reminder. It talks about those lepers. It was 10 lepers that got healed. Mm-hmm. Jesus did something a little unusual, as you said in the sermon on yesterday. He didn't tell them to go wash. He didn't tell them to be healed. He didn't tell them that their sins had been forgiven. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Is that what it said?
That's it.
And as they were going, they recognized that something unusual had happened. They had been confined, as you had already talked about and described, their living conditions as well as how they were treated in society. And, you know, as I thought about that, sometimes leprosy may be the term or the name for disease, but many times we find ourselves in confinement because of our conditions, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something physical.
Amen. That's right. And one of the things about the 10 lepers is that they were so comfortable with their condition that they didn't expect anything different. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like you said, we may not have leprosy, but sometimes we become so comfortable with how our position or our condition of life, mm-hmm. that we just don't expect it to change. We don't expect anything different. We don't expect a different outcome. And so as these 10 lepers met Jesus, their outcome was different. And so if we know the Master, if we know Jesus, we ought to expect a different outcome.
Okay, okay. And it's interesting that they did not hesitate. They knew something about Jesus, and it was clear from the text that when he made his way toward them, they began to cry out. Mm-hmm. And I think one of your points was that we need to cry out to God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we find ourselves worried about what others are saying and how people might react to us doing what we don't normally do. And sometimes we have to shout it out. Sometimes we have to get it out any way we can when Jesus is in the vicinity or when we need something to help us get to what would make us whole. We ought not have any reservation or hesitation about being embarrassed or worrying about what others might think. I know oftentimes when people come to the altar, many times they are coming for one thing, and God can quickly change their heart and their mind when they start crying out. Mm-hmm. And people will leave the altar, some joining for the first time, some asking to be baptized, and they may have just come for a simple prayer. But when you connect with God at the level of your need, and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're willing to do what's necessary in order to get what you need from him.
That's right, to get that breakthrough. And one of the things is that God can hear our cry from a distance. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as we know him, we can cry out to him from wherever we are. We don't have to be up close to him. We don't have to feel his spirit moving within us. We don't have to see the waters moving or something miraculous happen. We can cry out from wherever we are, no matter how close we feel to God or how distant we feel to God, and he can answer our prayers.
That cry is oftentimes associated with our breakthrough and with deliverance throughout the Bible. And many times people look at it as a physical tear that comes from the eye. But is it always in that form or fashion? When you cry out, does it necessarily mean that you're going to be crying a river of tears?
Absolutely not. You know, when we say cry out, you know, it can be in a physical sense, a shout, you know, okay. Or it can be crying out quietly in your spirit. But as long as you posture yourself to present your problems to God, then that's your personal cry.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about, you said we have to walk in kingdom authority. What does that really entail? You shared a little bit about them walking into the destiny that God had set for them after they were healed. How does that relate to us in terms of walking in our kingdom authority?
Walking in kingdom authority means taking possession of what you have in God already. And we talked a little bit about that a few minutes ago, that they didn't expect anything else but what they had already received. And when we know Jesus, when we accept Jesus, then we can walk in the authority in which he has given us. In his word, he lets us know that the scripture's not coming to me right now, but we walk after the spirit and not after the flesh.
Okay.
And so walking in kingdom authority means that we walk in the authority that God has given us, that we can overcome any situation that we face as long as we have Jesus by our side.
Okay. So walking in kingdom authority is already in us. Mm-hmm. We have to release that which God has already placed on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? And we walk by faith and not by sight.
Faith and not by sight.
And so we have within us something that's more powerful than we actually realize oftentimes. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the enemy tries to do a work on us outwardly, but what we have on the inside of us is greater than what the enemy is trying to do outside. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is clear when it says greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't speak it, if we don't walk in what we already have, it's almost like not reading your Bible and expecting the results of the promises of the word. We have to study that word in order to release the promises to be activated in our situation. And many times believers think that they can just perpetrate, so to speak, and not get into that word, and then think that the blessings that they are seeking and the promises that they are trying to unpack is just going to automatically come their way. But we got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We got to get into this word. We got to know the word. We got to develop some disciplines so that we won't allow the enemy to overwhelm us with all of the things that we see in the natural, because many times we focus on the natural and we fail to see what God is doing in the spirit realm, because we have not fed our spirit man and we have filled ourselves up with all of this stuff of the world. And Paul reminds us of that. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that was a powerful reminder for us to walk in kingdom authority. We have authority over the enemy. We have authority over our situations. And many times we settle for less than what we live beneath the standards set by God.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about what we feed our flesh the most. That's what mostly tends to come out.
Okay.
Now, that's just like your physical body. If you eat junk food, you know, your body is not going to be fit. But you have to be able to feed yourself, you know, spiritually, spiritual food, mm-hmm. so that you can be spiritually healthy and be able to grow.
Okay. All right. That's good. So you have to have a healthy, plan of nutrition in order to be sustained in the natural. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And so it is in the spirit, right?
Right. Yes.
We can't just neglect our spirit man and continue to feed the natural man, mm-hmm. and expect to get spiritual results.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We can't feed our body cake and ice cream, chocolate, candy bars and every
popcorn.
Day and expect to be healthy.
Yep.
That's right. And we have the same thing with, you know, in the spirit realm. We can't, you know, neglect God's word and expect to be spiritually fit. So
I was laughing because I probably need to go get me a steak to balance off this junk I've been eating all day.
Sounds good to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, because I haven't had a wholesome meal today, no fault of anybody but mine. And so a steak might be a little bit too heavy this late, but I feel the steak spirit coming over.
Not that late.
Okay. All right. And that last point was even more important. All of them were powerful, but show your gratitude with actions.
Mm-hmm.
And you mm-hmm. talked about how our gratitude shows up in a number of ways, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. The, this man, he when he turned back, that was his action. He went back
mm-hmm.
to tell God, thank you. And not only did he go back to tell God, thank you, he showed him by praising him and falling down at his feet and worshiping him.
Okay.
And so, you know, you need to show somebody some kind of action.
Okay.
When you're grateful, show God how grateful you are to him by showing up, by doing your part, by tithing, by serving, by giving. Show up any way you can to help someone else that's in need.
Okay. Because I think you made mention of the fact that many times we're waiting on God to bless us before we move into action.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to already be in motion So when the blessing comes, we don't have to kick it into another gear. We can keep going and be grateful and thankful for what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times we want to wait till we get into a situation where we are crying out to God and it's in desperation. But it should be a discipline that's already set in motion so that when the time does come, and it will come, that we will need direction, we will need guidance to get out of a situation.
Absolutely.
Who is that? I believe it was, who was that? Said, count it all, James, when he says, count it all joy. When you go through trials and tribulation, not if you go through. So it's a certainty that we're all going to face difficulties and situations. And so we don't have to wait until we get into a situation with our backs up against the wall before we learn the discipline of thank you. And when we understand how important it is for us to thank God even before we possess what we've been asking him to do in our lives.
Amen.
So how does this all tie in to Thursday? Thursday is a couple of days away, two or three days away.
We need to tell God thank you for all of his blessings. And I've been waking up in Thanksgiving mode, you know, ever since, well, I guess Saturday, when I was going over my message. You know, I just thank God for all that he's done in our lives. I thank God for you and your consistency and your faithfulness to the Lord, and I thank God for our family, and I thank God for all that he's blessed us with through Anointed Temple of Praise. And I just thank God for my my job and everything that he's blessed me with. I'm satisfied. Amen.
All right, well, that's good. For those who are listening, spend a few moments between now and Thursday just to show appreciation and thanksgiving for what God has done. As we talked about earlier, that old song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord has done. And so go ahead and thank him, because all of us have something to give God praise for and thanks for. We have a right, we have a reason and a responsibility to yet give him praise, because we're still here, believe it or not, after all we've been through and after all of the struggles, after all of the difficulties, and seeing how people are leaving here left and right. People are being robbed and people are on killing sprees. And just this past weekend, this young man just went off and he took so many lives, five different people, I believe.
His one family members, yep, all of his family.
Went all across town just killing people and then turned the gun on himself. And so we don't have to wait till tragedy strikes before we give God thanks and make sure that we're in proper relationship with him, because, you know, we can't predict how we're going to leave here, but we can do something about the time that we do have here in terms of our commitment to God and our obedience to his word, and then our service to God for all that he's already done.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to the sermon? It's a powerful word. Those of you who didn't get a chance to hear it on yesterday, it's on our ATOP web page as well as our ATOP TV page. You can go back and listen to that. Because, Lady Kim, that was a powerful word, and we thank you for saying that you're thankful for me. That feels like a steak spirit coming up in me. So, but I know you're grateful, and I know you're thankful. And sometimes we can't assume that people know that. We have to go ahead and be expressive in that and letting people know how we feel about it.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
Any comments that you need to share?
One good comment, Evangelist Sheree says, you can't expect to be spiritually fit if you only work out on Sunday. I
wow,
like that.
That's good.
You might hear that again when I preach.
No, right? That's good.
Yeah, Dr. Q, Dr. Kwali says, repeating for the folks in the back, the discipline of thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. That is a discipline. You mm-hmm. have to. A discipline means something that you practice and something that you do. we have to discipline ourselves in the art of saying thank you to people.
Okay. And I, you know, we raised our kids to say thank you, and people have lost that art of, you know, and that is sometimes we even have to raise the question, whatever happened to thank you, you know? And we have to make sure that we develop that and that we teach those who are yet coming behind us how important it is to say thank you to those who do things for you. People don't have to be kind to you, you know. And the least that we can do is say thank you for thinking about me, or thank you for this gift that you bestowed upon me. And so Thanksgiving, I tell you, what are your plans, Lady Kim? I know your family's en route back to Memphis. And what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
To eat and relax.
Okay. You going to be able to pull that off? That doesn't sound like part of your MO these days.
I'm going to try the best I can to eat and relax.
All right. Well, I follow suit, and I don't have to worry about cooking anything. They put me out of the kitchen when it comes time to cook. So I have some skills, but they won't allow me to exercise my skills. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna come home. They're going to come home one day, and it's going to be a full-course meal that I've ordered, and they won't know. Don't put it in the pots that's already in there. You see, y'all sit down and see. All right.
Oh, goodness.
Well, we praise God for you, Lady Kim, and you're getting ready to do a series of sermons. Tell us a little bit about how that's going to manifest itself. Or are you still yet working and asking God to direct you on that?
I'm working and asking God to direct me, but I do have a couple that I'm going to present within the next couple of Sundays. My overarching theme is the engine that drives our commitment, the engine that drives, look, I can't even think of what it is. The engine that drives what we're doing at an A time.
That's not it.
The word is escaping me right now. Somebody gonna put it on there.
I'll tell you what it is. Here it is right here, so you won't be pressing and resting.
I know, right?
It's called the engine that drives.
See, you can't even find. You don't even know what it is. Engine that drives our mission. I was gonna say vision, but it could be our vision and our mission.
Yeah.
You know what drives our vision and our mission at Anointed Temple of Praise.
That's
a lot of churches. All churches should have a vision and a mission.
Absolutely.
Something that drives them in the direction to where they should go.
Mm-hmm.
But the engine that drives our mission, one of them is our outreach to the community. And so that's not the name of the sermons. That's the overarching theme of everything that we do, that it is the engine that drives our mission is our outreach. And that's what I'm going to be talking about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, we're looking forward to the next two or three Sundays, however the Lord leads on that. We don't want to cut you off, even though you pass your deadline for your dissertation.
Right.
But we want you to be led by the Spirit. Now, you set a high bar on Sunday, so should we come expecting? What should we expect Sunday?
Well, the Holy Ghost set a high bar.
Okay. Well, y'all wanting the same operating in terms of your connection.
Yeah.
So
I'm working on it.
You want us to put on our slides, or you want us to put on our running shoes, or you want us to?
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing, because you never know what the Holy Ghost is going to do. You always pray, you know, that God's word goes forth with power and that it hits many, but sometimes it goes forth with power and just hits one or two.
All right.
You know, I think the sermon Sunday hit many, you know, because sometimes after all God has done for us, we do forget to say thank you.
That's right. That's
we do forget, you know, from I when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to bed at night, I say, God, I thank you. And you might hear me sometimes when I lay down, I say, God, I thank you. And I thank him for the day's journey and for bringing me safely to another night of restful sleep. And so, yes, we need to say, God, I thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, however the Lord leads. And we know that He has an excellent vessel that's going to be obedient. It's going to be prayed up and ready to go. And we're anticipating a mighty move of the Spirit. And we call those things that be not as though they already are, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So we believe that the next couple of Sundays are going to be off the chain. And so we're standing on that, and we're decreeing and declaring even now. Lift your hands, Lady Kim. And we receive that. And she's reluctant. Lift your hands.
I was trying to get in the camera.
And so we believe that God is going to use her in a powerful and a mighty way to help us understand and unpack this whole overarching theme about the engine that drives our mission. All right. Well, let's jump into the 28th chapter of... Somebody said popcorn is good. I just wanted to make sure I emphasize that. And then thank you, Sister Georgia. We do need samplers in the kitchen. Everybody doesn't have to be a cook. I wholeheartedly agree with you on that.
Well, we're not going to get full off of sampling, though. I do have to...
She's right. Indicating that everybody is not a cook. That's what she's making reference to.
Okay.
And so I have to come in and be...
I'm relieved to hear that.
I had to come in and be an honor bearer. She said, I believe to hear that. What did she say?
That was Siri on my watch.
I know. What did she say? I don't believe I something.
Oh, Lord.
But no, somebody has to serve in its different roles, you know, and somebody has to serve as a sampler. And so a taster or an armor bearer in terms of making sure that everything is hidden the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't mind taking on that responsibility. But like I said earlier, I've got something I'm going to release here in the next probably year or so that's going to blow you away, Reverend. I've been working on some stuff.
You've been working on some sermons?
No, on some cooking tips.
Oh.
Okay.
So you're going to get tips. You're not actually going
to I've been
cook.
Working on the tips to get ready for the whole meal that I'm going to cook.
Oh.
That's what I said.
I'm glad you said that publicly.
I said in the next couple of years, too. So make sure you get the whole message now.
Now, the reason why I missed that is because I was reading what Evangelist Sheree was saying on the feed that I should... Have I ever thought about writing a book called When a Woman Prays? I believe you will impact many women. No, mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that. You know, I'll pray about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You preach several sermons around prayer.
About women, in prayer.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. That's great. That's great. Dr. Qualise, all right, we see you. We see y'all tonight, but we're going to go ahead and jump into this 28th chapter. And it's interesting that all of these kings are following suit. We're in the 28th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I believe there are about 27 verses there. Is that correct? 27 verses. And, you know, we can almost sum up this whole chapter, Lady Kim, because it's an evil reign that is happening here. And who is it? Ahaz has taken over. His dad has passed. And now he's the son who has taken on the responsibility. And the thing that really captured my imagination was how God's grace was so evident even back then, because he continued to give them time and time again to prove themselves and to make sure that they were given an opportunity to prosper as well as to fail. And he didn't put any restraints on them. Was that another comment?
That you'll leave you alone, you will cook soon.
That's right. That's right.
How soon?
Hello, hoo boo boo. Thank you, Lord. Now, y'all interpret that. Thank you, bro, for helping your brother out.
Don't help him in that nonsense.
See, okay. All right. I'm going to have something in there one day you come home.
I really hope so.
Okay. All right.
And I hope it's edible.
We can stay there if y'all want to now.
I hope it's edible. Okay. Let's move on. We have Bible study.
I can do a hot dog right now.
Yes, you can boil water.
All right. Well, y'all got a lot of laughing faces, because we got some people on here that need to be fed this word now. But the reign of Ahaz is one that was an evil reign. And the sin of Ahaz and his punishment is really what's happening here in these first 15 verses, and how he has embraced the idols, and he had has embraced idol worship, and he's bringing back all of the things that he signed up not to do. We find him doing those things that caused God not to smile on him. But as I was saying, how God extended his grace toward him, even though he probably already knew in advance how he was going to get caught up and embrace the evil that he participated in. But God allowed him to flow in that. And I think he took over. He was 20 years old, I believe, what the Bible says.
Yes, he was 20.
And he reigned for some 17 years in Jerusalem. And so it took time for him to really develop a pattern that caused him to go away from what God had instilled within him from the very outset. And I think if we read those first 15 verses, we'll see how God begins to, how he begins to go down that evil track. And then the latter verses, verses 16 through 27, the end of that chapter, it will talk about the decline and the fall of King Ahaz. And then we'll see Hezekiah coming on the scene in the next chapter. But this is almost a repeat of what has already happened with the other kings who preceded him. Mm-hmm. So let's just read those first 15 verses and see what God is saying.
Okay. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, for those that have joined us. And my eyes are not cooperating too well today, but I'm going to give it a good shot. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his ancestor David had done. Mm-hmm. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made cast images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and made his sons pass through fire according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. He sacrificed and made offerings on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree.
Let's stop right there for a minute, because that's those first five verses, I believe, that's only two verses. It's really significant in showing that very early on, he went contrary to mm-hmm. what, and they refer back to David because the promise was given to David, mm-hmm. and all of those who followed David were attached to that same promise.
Amen.
And so the author refers back to, he calls him his father David, but he's talking about the ancestral, role of how all of those who followed David, that same promise was attached to their leadership.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, they did some horrible things. You know, the Bible says abominable things. Mm-hmm. But another version talked about there in verse number 3. Let's look at verse number 3 again. It talked about, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and made his sons pass through the fire according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And in another verse, it talks about, moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons and burnt his children the fire. So he actually worshiped idol gods and worshiped and gave his children as sacrifices.
Right.
Burned them in the fire. What a horrible and hideous way, amen, what an awful way to worship an idol god is to offer your children as a sacrifice.
Right.
Amen.
Right. And so I think what he was doing was going back and reestablishing some of the old ways in which they would offer their children as sacrifices on the altar. Mm-hmm. And you remember with who was it, Abraham and Isaac? Mm-hmm. And right. That's when that was abolished, because God showed Abraham a ram in the bush.
In the bush.
And mm-hmm. so here, this this king Ahaz, he's coming back with that same foolishness that had already been disavowed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what that is. And then he goes in there talking about how he was using incense in the high places when he should have been using actual sacrifices there. He reverted back to using incense as mm-hmm. an offering of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So would you like me to continue on?
Yes. Yes. I just wanted to go ahead and lift that up because those first two or three verses were key in terms of setting the tone for what else is happening here in this chapter.
Okay. We're going to begin with the fifth verse. Therefore, the Lord his God gave him into the hand of the king of Aram, who defeated him and took captive a great number of people and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with great slaughter. Pekah, son of Ramallah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all of them valiant warriors because they had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And Zechariah, a mighty warrior of Ephraim, killed the king's son, Messiah, Azrikam, the commander of the palace, and Elkanah, the next in authority to the king. The people of Israel took captive 200,000 of their kin women, sons, and daughters. They also took much booty from them and brought the booty to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. He went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, because the Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. Now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves? But what have you except sin against the Lord your God? Now hear me and send back the captives whom you have taken from your kindred, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Moreover, certain chiefs of the Ephraimites, Azariah, son of Jonan, Birchina, son of Meshilemoth, Jehezekiah, son of Shalom, and Amasah, son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, you should not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring on us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt, for our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against us. So the warriors left the captives and the booty before the officials and all the assembly. Then those who were mentioned by name got up and took the captives, and with the booty they clothed all that were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble among them on donkeys. They brought them to their kindred at Jericho, the city of palm trees, and they returned to Samaria. That was through 15.
Okay. Anything that really kind of leaps off the page there for you, Lady Kim, that you want to maybe add to? Because really what we're seeing happening here is Syria and Israel, they defeat Judah, mm-hmm. and then Israel returns the captives. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they return all of that which they received during that that exchange, that battle, so to speak. And they started meeting the needs of those who were less fortunate than those who were in need. Mm-hmm. And so we find Ahaz, he's really having a difficult time in terms of trying to adjust and really identify his loyalties. And he's kind of leaving behind the charge and the challenge that God had had placed before him and how he was the one who was to carry the torch going forward. But he became seduced by substitutes, and he got caught up in seeking pleasure and wealth and power for himself, and ended up sleeping with the enemy.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, and he worshiped those idol gods, and
right,
that's what God was displeased
that's
with.
That's right.
You know, and caused tragedy to come upon him.
Okay. Well, let's pick it up at verse 16, and then let's read down to verse number. You want to read the rest of that, or you want to stop?
Fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Verse 16, 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help, for the Edomites had again invaded and defeated Judah and carried away captives. And the Philistines had made raids on the cities in the Shephelah and of Negeb of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Jeradah, Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they settled there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of King Ahaz of Israel, for he had behaved without restraint in Judah and had been faithless to the Lord. So King Telgath-Pilneser of Assyria came against him and oppressed him instead of strengthening him. For Ahaz plundered the house of the Lord and the houses of the king and of the officials and gave tribute to the king of Assyria, but it did not help him. In the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord, this same King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, and said, because the gods of the king of Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them so that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. Ahaz gathered together the utensils of the house of God and cut in pieces the utensils of the house of God. He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every city of Judah, he made him high places to make offerings to other gods, provoking the anger of the Lord, the God of his ancestors. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways from the first to the last were written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz slept with his ancestors, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem. But they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. His son Hezekiah succeeded him.
Okay, so a whole lot going on here, right?
Yes.
And Ahaz, he didn't bounce back, if you will, or try to redeem himself. But he kept going down that same road. And he began to even renounce some of the things that he had pledged that he would do as a leader and as a king. And as a result, we find that he is buried in Jerusalem, but not among the other kings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even when you talked about how the prophet came to him and he told him, he said, look, now, y'all winning this battle because the Lord has something against them. This is not about you now.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it twisted. And so he went in and didn't change his ways. And as a result, he suffered the consequences of his actions. And I think this has a lot to say to us as leaders, even today, that we must follow the path and we must stay true to what God has laid upon us to do. And sometimes it gets difficult because we put ourselves in positions to fail when we lead that which God has placed in our hearts.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's true. And the interesting thing is that we see another the pattern that mm-hmm. continues. We have good kings, and when they die, they're placed in the cemetery with the kings or among the tombs of the kings. And then they have bad kings that offer sacrifices to idol gods and do horrible things, and they are not buried among the kings. They are not
That's
honored
right.
as the king. So That's significant in the fact that, you know, why won't these kings see the pattern? That's my...
they just observed everything that happened before.
And they know the history. but one of the things about that day and time, this is some world behind the text information is, and I think I've mentioned this before, that during that day and time, kings exerted themselves or became powerful by overtaking other kingdoms and other nations. And when they overtook another kingdom or another nation, if they gave, you know, God praise for it, if they praised God and walked in the ways of God, mm-hmm. then they were honored.
Okay.
But these kings were ruthless.
That's
they,
right.
They weren't nice little kings that we see in, you know, these little fairy tales.
No.
You know, they would war against the people in other countries and in other nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would get people to be on their side, you know,
right.
or to partner with
once
them
they would,
be their allies.
Allies, that's right. And once they defeated them, then they would fall in line and they would start doing exactly what the king would have for them to do. So the lesson here for us in this particular chapter has to do with doing good and following the precepts of our ancestors, those that pleased God, and not become a bad influence based upon the things that we're trying to accomplish ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times, as you just indicated, we can get caught up in trying to please ourselves and trying to please men, and we get farther and farther away from our God-given assignment.
Amen. And we have to watch out because we talked about idols.
Right.
And we have idols today. Anything that we put before God, anything that we worship or put more attention on than God is our idol.
Okay.
And so we have to be careful that we don't idolize our job, that we don't idolize our positions, that we don't idolize our children. There are a lot of things that we can put in place of God, and that's what an idol is. You know, we worship something more than we worship God.
Hmm.
So check out your checkbook.
Uh-oh. That's a good indicator.
Yes.
That's good, Reverend.
Of who you worship or what you worship,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm not talking about paying bills. You have to pay your bills, you
okay.
know. But sometimes, you know, we can look and check it out and see if we may be worshiping Macy's more than we
Watch
worship
out.
The Lord.
Watch out.
Maybe worshiping Dillard's more than we worship the Lord. We need to be careful.
Well, we are already clear that that's not one of your pitfalls or downfalls in terms of your... That's not one
that's
of your
not me.
Idols.
Shopping is not my idol. No. I don't have any idols.
Okay. All right.
That I
well,
don't
the last
believe.
Person said that. You know what happened
believe.
To him, right? I'm just saying. I'll let
no,
you,
what happened
I
to
don't
him?
Know. I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't know who the last person was that said that. But no, I'm just joking. But you're right. And sometimes we can get so overzealous for things till we fail to put things in front of God. And you talked about that on yesterday about how we get caught up in the gift and not the giver.
Yes.
And how we need to really change that around and make sure that we worship the giver of the gift and
yes.
not the gift itself.
Absolutely.
I'm making reservations as we're talking, Lady Kim, so I'm going ahead and plug this in so we can exit stage right and go get this steak that you were talking about.
That was the steak you were talking about.
No, that's the steak you put emphasis on. I said it was too late. You said it wasn't too late. That's what you said.
All right.
So we're going to have to wrap this up. What you doing? I'm making the reservation.
No, don't make a reservation.
All right. Okay. See, I mean, I can't.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right.
All right. Let's go. people have your Bible study or want to see us making reservations.
They wouldn't have seen that, and you not got turned everything around. But no, we good. So we want to try to get into this this other chapter tonight, Lady Kim. But you know what? We can make a cameo appearance on Thursday if the time permits. And just spend some time. I see that funny look you're giving me. just spend some time telling people how much we thank them. And we have done a talk on Thanksgiving before. And so, I mean, people are going to be gathering at their homes. And we hope and pray that each of you will have restful, I guess is a good word, Thanksgiving, and that you pay attention to thanking God, even if others around you have forgotten that discipline. It'll be good for those of us who are in the household and in vicinities with others that we make sure we emphasize and not be overbearing with it, but that they understand that this is something that we ought to thank God for. And there ought to be a moment in each of our times that we sit and just tell God thank you for what he's done.
So do you have a time in mind?
For Thursday?
Yes.
No, it's based upon, and they will probably see the feed coming up, you know, that we're going live. So I don't know how the kitchen is going to be functioning at, I wouldn't say 12:30 and then y'all be busy.
Well, if we can stop, drop, and pray for just
okay,
a moment.
Okay.
Just,
well, let's set it for, what about 1 o'clock Thursday?
That's fine.
Okay. And we'll come back on 1 o'clock Thursday, and then we'll say a few words about Thanksgiving, and then we'll let y'all get back to what you're doing. And so we praise God for each of you. Can you move to the prayer requests to see if there are any, Lady Kim? And then... Happy Thanksgiving to already going forward, and we praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. Do you, if you have any prayer requests, if you drop them in the chat, then that would be good. But we want to lift up, of course, Sister Carol Taylor and the loss of her brother. And that funeral was yesterday in Ripley, Tennessee. So we're praying for Brother Dwayne Taylor and his wife, Sister Carol, and the loss of her brother. And then Sister Lou Bertha Brown, one of our new members, lost her brother in Chicago. And so we're praying for her and her family as they make preparations. The funeral arrangements are not complete yet, but we will let you know. And then Sister Lena Jackson lost her nephew, 13-year-old nephew in an accident on last week, and that funeral was on this past Saturday. So we want to lift up Sister Lena Jackson and her family tonight. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving to each of you. And we're coming back on Thursday at 1 o'clock, is that what I said, so that we can just share a word of Thanksgiving with you. But until then, be blessed, be warm, and be filled. And remember that we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give God thanks. And that Thanksgiving should be one of the disciplines that we put in our arsenal, and not just to wait till we get what we've been praying for before we decide we want to tell the Lord thank you.
Amen. Amen. If nothing else, let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you and we bless you, for you, God, alone are worthy to be praised. We pause at this time, God, with thankful hearts, grateful hearts, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy that you continue to bestow upon us. God, we pray for traveling grace and mercy for those who will be traveling over the next few days. We ask that they arrive at their destination safely and then return home safely, God. We ask, oh God, that prayers over our city, the city of Memphis and surrounding area, God, so much crime going on, God. We ask that you would that you would just quell the tide of crime that's happening in our city. So many people being senselessly murdered and killed, oh God. We ask, God, that the reign of Satan be
Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus.
And so, God, we ask that you would continue to look over our city, give our officials, city officials, what they need, the plan, the action plan, and the actions that they need to come up with in order to stem the crime tide, God. And God, we ask a special blessing on the bereaved today, God, those who have lost loved ones. We ask that you would continue to comfort their hearts and spirits, oh God, as they have laid or are preparing to lay their loved ones to rest. We pray for all of our sick and shut in, for they are many. We pray for the Isaac family and their children who are ill. We pray for Sister Pat Echols. We pray for Sister Lena Jackson. We pray for all the rest of those who are on our sick and shut-in list that I can't remember right now, God. And then, God, we ask that your hand of grace and mercy continue to bless and lead and guide our pastor today, God, and that you would continue to do a work at Anointed Temple of Praise. We're so grateful and we're filled with gratitude on what you're doing in the life of Anointed Temple of Praise. God, continue to take us higher in you.
Yes, God.
We love you and we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. It's in the name of Jesus that we give thanks and praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, thank you. And we'll talk to y'all on Thanksgiving Day.
Good night, everybody.
Be blessed.
Bye.